We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
People, look alive. It's showtime.
Now live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, it's Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
So shut up and listen.
Doors open in 3, 2, 1.
You know, we lost to some really good team last week, and, you know, a couple teams we just didn't play our best game. Obviously in two of the last three. So we got to get back to the basics and the little things and make sure we're cleaning up the small stuff so it doesn't become big stuff. But I don't think there's any lack of confidence in our belief we can win there if we have to.
How about we just start by winning in New York against the Giants this Sunday? Welcome in to Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries, live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. Ryan Horvath filling in for Chuck. Ryan Horvath filling in for Bart alongside my main man, Evan Heffelfinger. He'll be on the Sports Flashes producing the show and joining me on this lovely Friday. Busy show for you guys today. We got Benjamin Wargle, Badger Insider. He's going to join us at 8 a.m. Minnesota, Wisconsin coming up this Saturday, the battle for the Axe. Minnesota ranked 8th in the nation. The Badgers rated number 12. That one coming up this Saturday, so we'll talk about that with Benjamin coming up around 8 a.m. Ryan Wood joins us at 8:20, PackersNews.com, the Green Bay Press Gazette. We'll continue to preview Packers-Giants with him as well as with you throughout the morning, 414-799-1250. Once again, 414-799-1250. Tweet at the show at 105.7FM, The Fan. Find me at Ryan Horvath, R-Y-A-N-H-O-R-V-A-T. Also joining us this morning will be Paul Schwartz, Giants beat reporter since 1994 with the New York Post. He'll join us at 9 a.m., and we will take a look at the eye of the enemy with the New York Giants, a football team that comes in 2-9. But we start with a little Thanksgiving recap. Three NFL games on tap yesterday. The Chicago Bears knock off the Detroit Lions. The Lions season over. Done. That thing is done. They are eliminated from playoff contention yesterday, despite a pretty solid effort from their third-string quarterback, David Blau, Purdue legend. He played pretty well, but he got outplayed yesterday by Mitchell Trubisky, and the Bears do find a way to keep their season alive, their slim playoff hopes alive, and they eliminate the Detroit Lions. So come week 17, that's pretty big for the Green Bay Packers because you would expect, I mean, that could go either two ways, right? The Lions could just bench everybody else on their team that's not injured because Matthew Stafford has a broken back. You know, half of the guys are on the injured reserve already. Their running back, Kerryon Johnson, solid rookie. He's on the injured reserve. So they're pretty beat up right now. So it looks like we'll see a third-string quarterback in David Blau come Week 17. And that could be a huge game with a lot on the line come Week 17. So the Lions, they're eliminated. We don't need to speak of them ever again until Week 17. Also yesterday, a pretty good one. The Cowboys trounced by the Bills. That was the game that I was looking forward to watching. Although it looked a little bit like a blowout, it was kind of exciting to watch. Josh Allen continues to emerge as a superstar, the Bills quarterback. Like, this kid is the real deal. He outplayed Dak Prescott, in my opinion, yesterday. Cowboys fall. They lose once again. Jason Garrett, many thought that that might be his final game if they took an L yesterday, which they did. But it also looked like the Dallas Cowboys quit on Jason Garrett. But already Jerry Jones spoke to the media yesterday postgame and said he will not lose his job. We're going to stick with Jason Garrett, at least for the remainder of the season. I think what that means is they're going to try to have some talks with Oklahoma head coach Lincoln Riley in the offseason, try to pry him away from the college game. But if I'm Lincoln Riley, there's no way I'm leaving Oklahoma. Why would you? You play in a weak conference. You don't have to play any defense. Every year you're breeding the number one draft pick in the league from Baker Mayfield to Kyler Murray. Every year you have the number one pick. So why would you want to leave Oklahoma? You know, there's no reason to. He's a legend there. So I think that's what the Cowboys will do, though. They'll go after him. They're not going to fire Jason Garrett because then for the remainder of the season, you have to hand over the reins to who? Like, who is on that staff in Dallas that you would trust? Kellen Moore? That's who's calling the plays. That's the play caller. I honestly thought Kellen Moore was still the backup quarterback for the Cowboys up until week one when I saw him on the sidelines with a clipboard calling plays, and I said, oh, no crap, he's the offensive coordinator now? I thought he was the backup quarterback. Kellen Moore, Boise State legend, though. And then last night, the Atlanta Falcons, they do us no favors. They fall to the New Orleans Saints. The Saints continue to look like the real deal. Drew Brees looks old, though. Like, he does. He could still make all the throws. He's still one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I'd still rate him top five. But they have to find different ways to beat you. Last night, once again, their defense, they just bring it. Like, they get pressure on the quarterback. 5 sacks, 6 sacks. They get after the quarterback. They made things real rough for Matt Ryan last night. And Taysom Hill with another big night, blocked a punt. Then he runs in a touchdown. That guy's the real deal. He is an offensive weapon. So no favors right there. The Saints clinched the division title for the third straight year with their victory last night. Evan Heffelfinger joining me. Ryan Horvath with you. 414-799-1250. We're talking Packers football with you all morning long. And we're asking the basic question that we ask you each and every Friday. Give us your prediction. How are the Packers going to do on Sunday? The 2-9 New York football Giants coming into town. How are the Packers going to do this Sunday? You could also tweet at the show at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Anything you missed today or any day, you could find on the radio.com app. You could pause, rewind, fast forward, all that fun stuff. Evan, how was your Thanksgiving, bud? I know that we spent it together for about 7 hours, and it could have been even longer.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about what could have happened.
We're not going to talk about it.
I definitely had a nightmare about that potentially happening again last night, but no, it was really good. It was right after I got done here, went to my grandparents' house with all my family. It was my uncle's birthday, too, his 40th, so we had a little bit of a celebration for that. Had some scotch. That was one of his gifts. I'm not usually a scotch guy, but it was fantastic. And then, you know, you stuff your face with just every single kind of food that you can find, and then you end up passing out on the couch watching Bills and Cowboys.
Yeah, I thought that game was going to be a little bit more exciting. It was still a good game. I had the over, so I was, of course, upset because, I mean, they were in the red zone. How many failed red zone opportunities? Missed
field goals?
Yeah,
that was brutal.
I'll tell you what, my biggest takeaway, and you guys could also call in with that, 414-799-1250, is you watch six football teams play yesterday. Like, what are your thoughts on the Green Bay Packers after watching some of these NFC teams, right? Like, the Atlanta Falcons, they're pretty much done, right? But they do have a lot of explosive players on that offense. But watching the Saints, like, do you think the Packers are in the same league as the Saints? Watching the Cowboys, they're a disaster. I was so excited and so happy when Green Bay went into Dallas and Aaron Jones just put on a clinic and we beat up on the Cowboys. But now I'm like, oh, they're no good. Like, the Cowboys are no good. That win means absolutely nothing to me anymore.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. They're, what, 0-5 against teams with a winning record?
They haven't beat a team with a winning record.
That's not great.
No.
The Saints, they're probably pretty legit, I think, especially with Drew Brees coming back and playing well. They're legit. That defense is underrated.
Really is. What did they have last night? I got to go back and look. I want to say that they had, like, 6 or 7 sacks in that game. I was trying to fall asleep last night watching that game, seeing as I had to be up at 3 a.m. this morning. But
right, yeah.
But they just kept getting to Matt Ryan, and they made life a living hell for him last night. So, yeah, that pass rush, and then special teams. I continue to talk about special teams, and mainly because, like, when you look at Green Bay's special teams unit and it's the worst in the league or second worst in the league, you realize that those little things do matter when you see Taysom Hill block a punt last night, and then he ends up scoring another touchdown on one of those.
Former Packer legend, Taysom Hill.
I know. Packer legend.
It's a damn shame.
It's a damn shame they couldn't find any role for him. Like, I get it. You knew that he wasn't going to be your backup quarterback, which is why I laugh when you watch these Sunday Night Football broadcasts. And I love Sunday Night Football, the broadcast. Not that last night was Sunday Night Football, but the game was shown on NBC. And I usually love the coverage because I love Chris Collinsworth. I love Al Michaels, mainly because he's a degenerate gambler like me. You could always tell who he has money on. You know, he'll be like, oh, Green Bay in the red zone again. They're not going to kick the field goal here. And last night was not the best broadcast. I like Mike Tirico, but with him and Tony Dungy and Rodney Harrison in the booth, it just didn't feel like it was a big game. And I should love Rodney Harrison. I really should, because he's the only other guy that I know from Western Illinois, where I graduated, that actually plays in the league or played in the league. But last night I heard them say something funny, I continue to hear this on these broadcasts. Well, Taysom Hill, he could be the next Steve Young. No. He ain't the next Steve Young. Like, I hate when they take Drew Brees off of the field and they bring Taysom Hill on to throw a pass, like to throw a back shoulder pass to a tight end or to Michael Thomas. Like, if you're going to throw the football, and I get you have to catch the defense off guard, and you can't just bring him in running situations, but if you have Drew Brees on your team, why are you throwing the football with Taysom Hill?
Just for, like, the element of surprise, the trick play. I mean, pretty much. If you have a weapon like that and you want to try to actually use him instead of just sitting him on the bench and playing him special teams, you're going to try to draw up something, but I don't know. How do you use someone like that?
Well, right, and that's my point. Like, so I wasn't too upset. You know, I know that a lot of us out here want to Taysom Hill, which makes sense. But I don't think he was ever going to be the backup quarterback in Green Bay. And I just don't think that at the time Mike McCarthy would know how to use him. I mean, you could use him on special teams. I mean, we saw it last night. He blocks a punt. You could use him kind of in that wildcat formation where you know he's not really going to throw the football, but he could take off and he could burn you. Guy's a football player. Like, I love throwback guys like that. He just wants to play football. He'll do anything he can to be on the field. And Sean Payton is just a genius. So the Saints, they're 10-2. 26-18 winners last night over the Atlanta Falcons, and they covered the spread for me, which is huge. So the Saints now return home. They'll play the 49ers on December 8th, and that's a game that we'll be scoreboard watching as Green Bay Packer fans, because the Saints now with 10 wins, the 49ers with 10 wins, and you got Green Bay sitting here right now with 8 wins, along with Minnesota as well. So the race for the top seed in the NFC continues. Packers should have a pretty easy victory coming up this Sunday, but are they ever easy on any given Sunday? 414-799-1250. How do you guys expect the Packers to do coming up this Sunday when they take on the New York Giants? So how was the food yesterday? You mentioned the scotch. I'm surprised you drink scotch. Scotch is like an acquired taste. I didn't get into scotch till I hit like 28, 29 years old.
I'm not a huge scotch guy, and I'll be honest, like when it first gets in, like it's not easy to put back, but then
it's like gasoline.
But then you get that like burning in your throat and it's all calming and everything, and that feels really good. But I'm not a scotch guy. I also, as soon as I had the scotch, I cracked open a Busch Light and I was ready to go.
A little chaser?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that's a good move right there. I don't, you know, Aaron Rodgers is a big scotch guy, so maybe
we saw what he did with a beer.
Yeah,
brutal.
Yeah, that was brutal. David Bakhtiari luckily helped them out in that situation. So we got Packers, Giants coming up this Sunday. We got a lot of college football. Minnesota takes on Wisconsin. Minnesota number 8 in the country. Wisconsin number 12. And they're battling for more than just the axe this time, though. A lot at stake coming up on Saturday. ESPN's College Game Day will actually be at that game broadcasting for the battle for the axe. So that makes it feel that much bigger. The final college game day for the regular season for ESPN. So they'll be there. We'll talk a little bit about that with Benjamin Wargle, Badger Insider, coming up at 8 a.m. Also joining us today will be Ryan Wood. We'll talk with him around 8:20, PackersNews.com, the Green Bay Press Gazette. And then we will talk with Paul Schwartz as well coming up at 9 a.m. And we'll begin to preview Packers-Giants. But we're asking you right now, 414-799-1250, how will the Packers do coming up this Sunday? We'll give our predictions. And I'll tell you what scares me the most heading into this game, because, yes, even against the New York Giants, there's one thing that does scare me. I'll tell you about that next. It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
He's been a big part of the plan, but, you know, when you have so many third and extra longs, you know, some of the plan stuff kind of goes out the window, and you're scrambling, and you're a couple scores down, and a lot of stuff you want to do coming in the game, you just can't get to. So we got to do a better job of starting games off, and you know, we had a good run there starting the season. I felt like we were going out and scoring on most of our first possessions, and that's how you can kind of get into your first 20 plays that you want to script, and usually in that first 20, there's some opportunities for 33.
That right there, Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers talking about Aaron Jones and how the team needs to find a way to get him the ball. Not just through the run game, but through the air as well. It's the Chuck and Winkler Show. Ryan Horvath filling in for the guys. They'll be back with you Monday morning, 6 to 10. Bill Michaels coming up. He's back today from 10 to 2, the Wendy's Big Show. Also back today, it'll be Tim Allen and Bill Schmidt. Had to think about that for a minute. So Tim and Tausch retaking the airwaves today from 2 to 6. Coming up here on Chuck and Winkler this morning, we'll talk with Benjamin Wargle around 8 a.m. Ryan Wood at 8:20 from the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com at 8:20, and then Paul Schwartz from the New York Post. He's been covering the Giants since 1994. Does he think that this Giants team has a shot to pull off an upset and maybe play spoiler? Because that's what we have to worry about coming down the stretch now. You get the Giants, they're going to look to play spoiler. That's really all they have left to do this season. Also develop some of their younger players, Daniel Jones, rookie quarterback, Saquon Barkley. If I'm the New York Giants, I got to be quite honest. And Ross Tucker, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, said this a couple weeks back on the show as well. I would shut down Saquon Barkley right now. Like a couple months back, he had a high ankle sprain. He's your top player. You picked him, number two in the draft a couple years back. I would shut him down right now. Why do you have Saquon Barkley cutting the way that he moves with the football out on the field? Granted, it's been 3 weeks since the high ankle sprain, since he's returned, but he doesn't look the same. I would shut him down right now, and I would shut him down right before this Packers game because he does scare me. He could play on one leg against this rush defense, and he would still scare me. Evan Engram, Giants tight end, he is questionable. He's been banged up, so we might catch a break and not have to see him, because we know that the Packers continue to struggle with crossing routes and tight ends across the middle. 414-799-1250. What scares you the most, if anything, about this Giants team? And how are the Packers going to do this Sunday? What's your prediction? Because I have a hard time putting my finger on this one. I want to say the Packers win this game like 42-0, but that's just not the Packers and how they play football this year. I'll wait to get my prediction, but I don't know that it's going to be a blowout like we all think. I think if this game's played at Lambeau Field, Daniel Jones, rookie quarterback, has to come to Lambeau Field with colder elements. I think that this is a blowout, a roll-out the helmets game or whatever you guys call it. I think it would be a blowout. But this game played in New York, I don't think it's going to be as a close game. I don't think it'll be a one-possession game, but I could see this being like a 35-17 game. I think the Giants are going to score some points. I mentioned it before the break, 414-799-1250, tweet at the show at 105.7 FM, The Fan. The one thing that does concern me is Aaron Jones and finding a way to get him the ball, right? Because we go all the way back to week 8 against the Kansas City Chiefs, a game that I thought was Matt LaFleur's signature win against the Chiefs. Now you could say, you know, you beat a Chiefs team on the road, but what does it matter? Because you did it without Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes wasn't playing. But still, what I liked about that game is Matt LaFleur came into that game against the Chiefs with an offensive game plan to get Aaron Jones the ball with Devontae Adams out with turf toe. They executed that plan. And then when the Chiefs came back and made their in-game adjustments with Andy Reid and that defense, Matt LaFleur made better in-game adjustments. And that showed me that he was starting to figure things out, because the thing in the first 4 weeks of the season is Matt LaFleur's offensive game plans, his scripted plays. The first quarter, the Packers were on fire. Like, if you go back to that Minnesota game, the first half offensively, they put up points. They were moving the football. They looked great. Aaron Rodgers looked like it was 2011 again. And then in the second half, Minnesota made the better adjustments. Mike Zimmer made the better adjustments. And Minnesota could have won that game. Like, it was a big win for the Packers week 2 against Minnesota, but easily Minnesota could have came back and won that game. They outplayed the Packers, and they out-physicaled the Packers, were more physical than the Packers the entire second half, even against Denver. Kind of the same thing. Aaron Rodgers, big day against Oakland. So Matt LaFleur was starting to pick these things up, these in-game managing skills. And since, like, he was out-coached by Kyle Shanahan last Sunday. He was out-coached against the Chargers a couple weeks back. You know, he made some good adjustments against Carolina, but that Carolina team isn't as good as we thought that they were. I mean, they got a rookie quarterback starting. You know, I do like Christian McCaffrey a lot, but that was a big win. But if that game's played at Carolina, it might be a different result. So what concerns me is getting Aaron Jones the ball. 159 yards receiving against the Chiefs in that Week 8 game that I mentioned. Since then, one reception for minus 1 yard. One reception for minus a yard. After exploding for 159 yards and what was it, 7 receptions or something like that against the Chiefs in Week 8, 159 yards through the air, and now you have negative 1. And it's killing me because I continue to play these, and I won't talk gambling with you guys this morning until we get to our picks, but I continue to play these Aaron Jones over totals on receptions, and every week it's 3.5. So, like, Vegas is with me. Get Aaron Jones the damn ball. I see what's going on. You know, you got the downfield routes, the matchup isolations, the screen game. That's just dried up over the last couple weeks. Like, you're running screen passes and bubble screens with Jamal Williams, who is your power back. Like, I want to see Jamal Williams on 3rd and 1 on the halfback draw. I don't want to see Aaron Jones get that carry, especially without your best run blocking tackle, Brian Bulaga, on the field. I want to see him used in the pass game. But everything's just kind of dried up. The screen game is not there over the last several weeks. And it doesn't really make any sense to me. Like, if you saw it last week, I don't think you could place the full blame on Matt LaFleur, because he was using Aaron Jones in different formations, but he's just not getting the same attention since Devontae Adams got back, since he returned from the turf toe. 414-799-1250. So you got to get Aaron Jones the football. Also, where has Danny Vitale been? I have no clue where Danny Vitale's been, because throughout preseason, throughout training camp, we would go up to Lambeau, we'd go up to Green Bay, and we'd watch these practices, you know, the parts that you're actually able to watch, and we saw a lot of Danny Vitale used in the passing game. Saw some I formation with him as the lead blocker, but you saw a lot of Danny Vitale in the passing game, which I like to see, because if you watch what Kyle Shanahan does in San Francisco, that's how they use their fullback. Like, I long for the days of a Mike Alstott-type fullback that's going to run the football, carry it, you know, 20 times, also catch some balls. Not that Danny Vitale has the same skill level as a Mike Alstott or a Lorenzo Neal, or I'm not throwing his name in that category. But you go back to that San Francisco game, not only are you not using him in the passing attack, he only played 9 snaps. Like, your fullback only played 9 snaps. What's the point of even carrying one on the roster? Not quite sure. So the Packers, I just feel like right now the offense has grown stale. And I got some more numbers to support that, and we'll get into that. What's going on with Aaron Rodgers and what's going on with the offensive line? We heard from Matt LaFleur a little bit later, or a little bit earlier, I should say, in the pregame show. We'll hear from him a little bit later on as well. Will Brian Bulaga play? And that's going to be a huge key to this game. Now, I wouldn't mind Brian Bulaga maybe sitting out against the New York Giants. You could say the offensive line will be a mess if you have to start Alex Light, if you have to move some guys around, move Billy Turner around, and if you have to go with Lucas Patrick out there. But the New York Giants pass rush doesn't really scare me as much as, I mean, Washington really doesn't as well. You get the Bears in a couple weeks here. So I would want Brian Bulaga fully healthy for that game, because these two pass rushes, like, this isn't San Francisco you're going to see. This isn't the Chargers pass rush. You want to keep Aaron Rodgers clean, but I think with some minor adjustments, you'll be able to do that no matter who's on that offensive line. Like, the Giants pass rush doesn't scare me. Now, if this is 2005, 2006, and they got the NASCAR package, and they find a way to get Michael Strahan back out on the field, then that pass rush will scare me. But right now, nothing on this Giants defense scares me whatsoever. Like, I'm a Jabril Peppers guy, the safety, but it looks like he's going to be out. You know, they're beat up right now on that defensive side of the ball as well as on the offensive side of the ball. 414-799-1250. We'll go out to the phone lines. We'll talk to David. David's in Bayview. David, happy holidays, buddy. How was your Thanksgiving?
Not too bad so far. I want to know where Rashawn Gary is. It looks like we have another loss. First-round draft choice. Guy hasn't contributed anything that I know of, and this is the Packers' biggest failure, is getting defensive players in the first round that can contribute to the team in the first year.
Yeah.
He's done absolutely nothing. I haven't even seen him on the field.
What's going on? David, you want to know what's embarrassing about that when you say I haven't even seen him on the field? He actually got a decent amount of snaps last game. I mean, they're trying to make him play without his hand in the dirt, so they're moving him around a little bit. But I had Ryan Wood on our Packers Insider, Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com yesterday, and I asked him the same question, because he's just not making a difference. And he still thinks it's a learning curve and he's only going to get better playing with Za'Darius and Preston Smith and learning from the vets. He says that what he saw day one of training camp and what he sees now, he says that Rashawn Gary is making huge leaps, like that he's become a much better player. He's starting to pick things up, but I'm with you. And especially when you look at some of the guys that you passed up on, even if you had to move up and make a trade, go out there and try to get yourself a Brian Burns or some of these guys, you just look at these rookies, right? Like Nick Bosa, that's what pisses me off the most. You look at Nick Bosa, and he's a rookie, and granted, that's the second pick of the draft. That's a guy that should have went number one overall. But, I mean, he's got, what, 8 or 9 sacks already? He has at least 4 quarterback hurries and pressures in each game that he plays. And then we're watching Rashawn Gary, and you wasted a first-round draft pick on a project. He's a project, so I'm with you, man.
Yeah, that's the only complaint I got so far. He's got to come through in the second half and do something for this team.
He does. Thanks for the phone call. Enjoy your weekend, buddy. Thanks, David. 414-799-1250. He pops off. You guys could jump on. We'll be with you until 10 a.m. Bill Michaels will be with you from 10 to 2, the Wendy's Big Show, 2 to 6 with Billy Schmidt and Tim Allen. Tim and Tausch back together from 2 to 6. Bucks back in action tonight. They take on the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're going to look to do something that they haven't done since 1985. Evan Heffelfinger and myself will get into that shortly. And we will also be talking Packers football. How will the Packers do this Sunday? We want your predictions. That was a great phone call right there, because I continue to complain about Rashawn Gary as well, to the point like where my wife even has to hear about it every time that I turn on a game, because I just wasn't very high on Rashawn Gary. Now, I don't want to call this guy a bust because he's a kid. It's his first year. He's not getting, you know, a whole lot of snaps right now. But my problem with Rashawn Gary is that I watch a lot of Michigan football. I watch a lot of Big Ten football. This is a kid that was the number one prospect coming out of high school. Now, you could say they played him. I mean, Jim Harbaugh used him in situations where he wasn't really comfortable. He took on a lot of double teams. He freed up some of his teammates. But he just, I never saw it with Rashawn Gary. Like, he has all the physical gifts, all the physical tools, but there's just something missing, I feel, with Rashawn Gary. So I didn't love the draft pick. And he makes the last caller made the comment about swinging and missing on first-round draft picks or second-round draft picks on these guys, you know, and you look at Kevin King. I'm a Kevin King guy. I know not everybody's so high on him. You look at Jair Alexander, and he's worked out. You know, the only knock on Jair Alexander is he struggles to catch the football. And maybe his football IQ, because a couple weeks back he said the Packers were the top defense in the league, and they're in the bottom half right now. But still a big Jair fan. I want to see more from Rashawn Gary, but I don't think we're going to see it this year. He's had a couple games where he has made some plays, you know, a couple tackles for a loss. He's been in the backfield a couple times, but just not enough, and not in games that actually matter. You know, he'll show up when it's Denver and it's the fourth quarter and it's garbage time, but where is he against San Francisco? Where is he against the Chargers? And, I mean, he's not the biggest problem. You know, I'm looking at the guys that are on the field for the meaningful snaps throughout the game. You know, Blake Martinez needs to step up. I know he's playing wounded right now, but he needs to play a lot better. Kenny Clark 2 weeks ago had the game of his life against the Carolina Panthers. He needs to play a little bit better, but he's seen a lot of double teams. Dean Lowry, if he could just prove to me that he's still on this football team, I'll be excited because he's been atrocious this year. Does Dean Lowry have a sack? I think he has like one tackle for a loss. He's been awful. I'll pull that number up. 414-799-1250. How will the Packers do this Sunday against the New York Giants? We'll take your phone calls, read your tweets, all that coming up after this Sports Flash from Evan Heffelfinger.
Against a tough opponent with good rushers in a noisy environment, we got to help those guys out, I think a little earlier, you know, with some chips and some thumps and some body presence. And again, I think the majority of that stuff, you know, is based on we were just bad starting the game out. You know, we had negative yards plays, we had penalties, we were behind the sticks, and we couldn't get to some of that stuff where we had plays where we could protect the edges and take some shots down the field. We just couldn't get to them.
Served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Ryan Horvath in for the guys. They'll be back with you on Monday from 6 to 10. Bill Michaels is back today, 10 to 2, Wendy's Big Show, 2 to 6 with Tim and Tausch. A Tim and Tausch takeover here on a Football Friday. We just heard from Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers talking a little bit about that offensive line. You know, the first, what was it, 5-6 weeks of the season, Aaron Rodgers just kept, and he still does, continued to praise his offensive line. This is the cleanest I've ever been in my career. I'm not getting hit. Had a lot to do with the success, getting rid of the ball quickly. The last 3 weeks, not so much. And now there's some injuries on that offensive line. You go back to that 49ers game, Aaron Rodgers was sacked 5 times on Sunday night. Your franchise quarterback should never be sacked 5 times in one game. Russell Wilson gets sacked 5 times in a game, but that's because Russell Wilson's trying to buy time with his feet and move around in the pocket, and his offensive line is atrocious, not nearly the type of money that the Packers are spending on their offensive line, namely David Bakhtiari, who has struggled a little bit with holding calls. You know, and you heard Aaron say it there again, first down holding calls, these stupid penalties, that's what's killing this team. You can't be playing from behind the sticks. That's what we saw against the Chargers. Saw it again with the 49ers. You have to protect Aaron Rodgers, but also you have to clean up the things that are unnecessary, the unnecessary penalties, the false starts, the holding calls. Has to stop. Brian Bulaga did injure his right knee. He left that game against the San Francisco 49ers. However, he's going to try to give it a go against the New York Giants, and I sure will find out a little bit more when Matt LaFleur meets with the media again. But Alex Light, who replaced him last week, was bad. Like, Alex Light was bad. But I don't want to throw Alex Light under the bus like I already did last Monday when I was a little hard on the guy, because going back watching the film, like, I get it. You know, you weren't expecting to play in that game. You're facing the best front four in all of football, in my opinion, although you're facing the best front four without arguably their second or their top pass rusher in Dee Ford, who was out for the San Francisco 49ers. But, I mean, he struggled all night long. So I don't know if Bulaga is unable to go or if he has to leave that game again. Because that's, I mean, to be honest with you, like, Brian Bulaga is one of the toughest players in NFL history, in my opinion. I love that guy. I think we're a little too tough on him here because the constant injuries – And I know he's a little bit slower. His best days are behind him. But say what you want about the guy. Like, he goes out there and he tries to play even when he's injured. But the thing that scares me is we know how this goes. Like, he goes out there, first drive of the game, he gets banged up, and then he leaves the game. I would rather just know if he's playing or not. Like, I don't want to see Brian Bulaga go in there for half of a first quarter and then have to go back to Alex Light, because then he's not prepared, and that's what we saw from Alex Light. Now, you should say these guys are pros, backup quarterbacks, backup tackles, backup receivers, whatever position you play. You should always be prepared in the game of football because of injuries to go into that game. But I would just want to know if Brian Bulaga is going to be at least 75% or not, because I would probably consider maybe taking Billy Turner, right guard Billy Turner, moving him over to tackle, and then going with Lucas Patrick at right guard. I don't know. I might start Lucas Patrick over Alex Light. I'm not quite sure. Move some guys around. But I don't know how that works out either. I want to see what the adjustments that Matt LaFleur will make and Adam Stenovich, the offensive line coach, as well. 414-799-1250. How will the Packers do this weekend, this Sunday noon kickoff, as they take on the New York Giants? We will have post-game coverage to follow here on The Fan with former Packer and Badger Gary Ellerson, as well as Bill Michaels. I was talking about it a little bit before the break, and I want to get your guys' thoughts on this as well. 414-799-1250. You could also tweet at the show at 105.7FM The Fan. What's the key to beating the Giants? What's the key to getting back on track offensively? You could say Aaron Rodgers needs to play better. Well, help me out a little bit. How does he play better? Can you play better than Aaron Rodgers? Because I sure as hell can't. What do the Packers need to do to get him back on track? Evan Heffelfinger producing the show today, joining me. He's been with me all week. I feel bad for the guy. He's seen me more this week than my wife. You've seen me more this week, actually, than my parents have in the last 3 years. How does that make you feel?
I want to say sad.
Are you sick of me yet?
No, of course not.
Am I bullying you?
Bullying? I mean, I feel like everybody bullies everybody. You kind of have to have a thick skin.
What do you think the Packers need to do to get back on track offensively? Like, what concerns you the most? Is it Aaron Jones not getting the touches? Aaron Rodgers staring down Devontae Adams, trying to force things to him too much? The target number for Devontae Adams, the offensive line? What concerns you the most heading into this game against the Giants?
Yeah, it's something that's been said on every show on this station the past couple weeks, that since Devontae's been back, it's proven that they haven't been spreading the ball around like they used to. Aaron Jones isn't getting the targets out of the backfield that he used to. I think the problem is they're trying too hard to go for that big play. And you saw it against the Niners, where they're going deep and trying to complete these passes that have no chance of getting completed. But then that one scoring drive, they succeeded because they were going for short passing plays. They were passing it over the middle. They were going for quick little slants. They were trying to just move the ball, which I think is what you need to do. And like Rodgers said, you need to pick up the pace.
Right.
Because if you're going to sit there and wait the entire play clock, you're not going to set yourself up for success.
Oh, I'm glad that you brought that up, because that's been driving me nuts. Because
for years.
Once again, heading into this season, we heard we're going to get these plays in quicker. And we see that, like, a lot of guys have these analytic dudes now, like the Baltimore Ravens do, the New England Patriots do. We saw it in their last game. Tom Brady was saying, we read his lips. He said, what the hell is going on with our clock guy? But, like, yeah, they're not getting these plays in. Aaron Rodgers, he's snapping the ball right at one pretty much every other play, if not every play. And they're getting a lot of good breaks, the Packers are, because he's snapping that ball like 2 seconds after the play clock expires. How many times, I go back to the Bears game week one, he would snap the ball and there'd be no time left on that clock. So that's what I want to see. Get these play calls in quicker. What the hell is going on? Great point right there.
Well, and also, what has been one of Rodgers' best things that he can do over his career? It's that hard count, and he gets them off sides because they're trying to exchange guys off of the field. If you're sitting there waiting until 1 second on the clock, they know that they have time to do that. And at the same time, you also want to speed up the clock so that they are getting tired. The defense is getting tired, getting marched down the field like that.
Right.
If you take the entire time, sure, you're taking up a big drive and it looks good for your time of possession, but that defense is going to be as well rested as anybody.
And like, the hard count seems like it's getting more confusing for this offensive line by the week. Like, the hard count is no longer drawing the defense off sides. What it's doing is creating false start penalties. How many false start penalties have we seen with Aaron Rodgers using the false start?
Oh, so many.
Using the hard count.
Didn't Aaron Rodgers himself have a false start like 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, he did.
So the running backs keep having false starts. Obviously, the offensive line, it's like even the Rodgers' hard count is past his prime.
Well, that's exactly. Because defenses have caught on. Like, Aaron Rodgers used to beat you with the free play. You never wanted to give Aaron Rodgers the free play. Now they blow that thing dead, though. And Rodgers gets so pissed off. I love watching him yell at the official. But the hard count, yeah, is hurting the Packers more than it's helping them at this point. You brought up Aaron Jones, getting him the ball more. I brought it up for the last 13 days, pretty much. 414-799-1250. You guys could throw in your keys to the game as well. But since Devontae Adams has come back, Adams has caught 7 passes in each of his 3 games back. We kept asking, how is Devontae Adams going to be the rest of the season? Turf toe, that's an injury that hampers you throughout the year. It's not just a quick fix in 2 to 3 weeks. It's going to probably bother him the rest of the year. He's been all right. He's caught 7 passes. So 21 passes in 3 games back, at least. 7 receptions in all 3 games back. Meanwhile, Aaron Jones, who has 11 rushing touchdowns, still getting the ball, you know, running the ball, but he's caught only one of his 4 targets for -1 yard since Devontae Adams has come back. Now you could say whatever, but the 3 games before Devontae Adams returned to the lineup, Aaron Jones had 15 grabs for 205 yards and 3 touchdowns. 15 catches, 205 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Since Devontae's come back, he's only been targeted 4 times, 1 reception, -1 yard. You got to find a way to get him involved in the passing attack. I see what the defenses are doing. I mentioned this. They're no longer putting a linebacker on them. They're using guys with speed, defensive backs, safeties. They don't want to get beat by Aaron Jones anymore. And they're able to do that because you're not getting any production from your tight ends. The Packers aren't throwing across the middle. So you're able to put one of your faster defenders on Aaron Jones because you don't need to worry about Jimmy Graham beating you because he's so damn slow and he doesn't want to cross the middle. And these receivers aren't creating any space. Nobody's getting open. Now, you could say Rodgers is missing guys on the check down, and we've seen that a couple times. He's looking for the deep ball still. He's looking to make the big play. But at the same time, nobody's getting open. Nobody's creating any space. I'm not completely sold on these wide receivers outside of Devontae Adams. I want Geronimo Allison to have a big week. This has to be the week that MVS shows up. I'm not going to get angry because we're playing the 2-9 Giants, but this has to be the week that MVS shows up. Whew, all right. I got a way that the Packers could protect Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to give that to you guys next. It's Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Chuck and Bart will be back on Monday. They're off enjoying their holiday. Ryan Horvath in with y'all morning long alongside Evan Heffelfinger, 414-799-1250. Tweet at the show at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Anything you missed today or any day, you could catch on the radio.com app. We're asking you, how are the Packers going to do and what are the keys to the game against the Giants coming up noon Sunday? The 2-9 New York Football Giants taking on the 8-3 Green Bay Packers. And let's go to 9-3 Green Bay Packers. Let's go out to the north side. We'll talk with Skyler. Skyler, what's up, buddy? Happy Thanksgiving, man.
Oh, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
What's up, man? What's your key to this game? Actually, first off, are the Packers going to win this game? Are they going to blow out the Giants, or is this going to be too close for comfort and I'm not going to be able to enjoy my football Sunday?
Don't worry about it. The Packers will win this game.
All right. What's the key to it?
The key? Mm-hmm. I don't really think the key is, I really honestly think the key to winning the Super Bowl is the Packers have to win in between the trenches, between the offensive line and defensive line. The defensive line have to be more disruptive as far as stopping the run because, like, that's what's really killing the Packers because the outside rush is good, but if you can't stop the run, the play action is going to kill you because you don't know if you need to stop the run or go attack the quarterback, and then you get that play action, and that's what's killing them because they can't stop the run. And as far as the offensive line, that's why he can't really get Aaron Jones off because against a good team, he can't the offensive line can't give him a good push.
Right.
For the team, can't get him a good push. So therefore, that's how they lose. And then if they can get that together, if they just will themselves in the trenches, they'll be fine. But that's easier said than done. But I think that's the key to winning the Super Bowl. And for the Giants, they're better in the trenches, so they'll win. The Giants are watching. That's guaranteed. They'll win those games.
Hey, thanks for the phone call, man. Enjoy your weekend, all right?
Yeah, you too.
Thanks, Skyler. 414-799-1250. He jumps off. You guys could jump back on. 105.7 FM, The Fan. You can find us on Twitter there as well. I completely agree with what Skyler just had to say right there. I say that every single year. I make my Super Bowl prediction. I mean, I make my preseason prediction, but then I make my re-prediction after week 8. And then I take a look once again around like week 13, week 14 at who is winning those battles in the trenches. And I know that it sounds so cliche, but it's also so damn true. If you look at the team every year that has the best offensive line and protects their quarterback, the New England Patriots, and you look at the team that's able to get to the quarterback every year, has the best defensive line, the New York Patriots. The New York Patriots. Wow, I may need some sleep, Evan.
It's bedtime.
New England Patriots, New York Giants.
New York football Giants.
Thank you, sir. But that's how I dictate who's going to play in the Super Bowl, who protects the quarterback and who's able to get after the quarterback. So if I'm predicting a Super Bowl right now, I mean, you know I got to choose my Packers because I'm a homer. But if I'm making an educated hypothesis of who's going to play in this Super Bowl, I'm going to go with the San Francisco 49ers and the New England Patriots because that's what they continue to do is win in the trenches. Like, the Patriots protect Tom Brady. The blueprint on how to beat the New England Patriots is out there. The New York Giants did it twice in two Super Bowls. NASCAR pass rush, beat the hell out of Tom Brady. He does not like to get hit. Like, if Tom Brady, let me go off on a little rant here. If Tom Brady faced the type of rush that Aaron Rodgers did. Now, Aaron Rodgers, you didn't even have to blitz him in that San Francisco game. That's the scary thing. It's like teams aren't even blitzing Aaron Rodgers anymore because he used to kill teams on the blitz. But with that front four and that pass rush, like if Tom Brady sees that from San Francisco, he's dead. Anytime anybody gets in Tom Brady's face these days, he just collapses. He does not want to get hit. That's the blueprint on how to beat Tom Brady, and it's only got worse because he's pushing 50 years old. Just beat him up a little bit. Skyler also had a great point on how to win these games is the battle in the trenches. And he brought up stopping the run, which is a great point because if you go back and you watch the San Francisco game, even if you watch that Chargers game, damn it, you could go back to the Broncos game with Phillip Lindsay just running all over the Packers. But what they're doing is they're establishing the run early. They're establishing the run early, and then Mike Pettine is freaking out. He's trying to stop the run. And then what are teams doing? They're killing the Packers on play-action passes. Jimmy Garoppolo on Sunday was 6-6 on play-action passes for 122 yards. Jimmy Garoppolo, 6-6 on play-action, 122 yards against Mike Pettine's defense. I mean, the 49ers, they established the run early. They just kept switching personnel in the quick pass game. And then they took their shots off play-action. You saw Deebo Samuel get freed up. They have some explosive weapons, so I agree. I think that's a great phone call. 414-799-1250. How are the Packers going to do this Sunday, and what are the keys to the game? That's what we're talking about with you. You can also tweet at the show at 105.7FM, The Fan. Trying to pull up these tweets right now, and my wife just texted me, Happy Thanksgiving. Oh, that's from yesterday. 2717, Keep It Simple says, Must stop the run, go Pack, go. Pac-Man 1982 says, Trade Rodgers and Adams. Let's just start over since we are terrible. Oh, wait, never mind. We are 8-3. All right, completely agree with that. Brewers fan tweets in at 105.7 FM. The Fan says, I have them in a money line parlay. Let's get it. Completely agree. I'm going to lay some scratch on the Green Bay Packers. We'll give our gambling picks a little bit later on in the show when it comes time for the auto six-pack of picks. See if we could get Bart on the line. I know he's at home enjoying his first Thanksgiving with his newborn son. Chuck is in Arizona. We're going to have to touch a little bit on the pictures that Chuck is posting.
Can we please?
We will.
Please.
What time do you think that Chuck wakes up in the morning when he's on his off day? I want him to...
In Arizona?
Yeah, I kind of want to get Chuck on the line. I want to figure out what was going on. For those that don't know what the hell we're talking about, give Chuck a follow. What is he at? Chuck Freeman on Twitter?
Something like that.
Yeah, he's posting some pictures on his vacation that it looks like TMZ almost were taking or got a hold of. Some paparazzi shots. 414-799-1250. That'll do it. 1 hour in the books of the Chuck and Winkler Show. Three more to go. When we come back, 414-799-1250, we will take your Packers predictions. How are the Packers going to do? Also, I have a very concerning stat regarding the Packers on third down that may help fix this team. We'll be back after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.